Welcome to the Revitalize Women podcast with Dr. Brenda Heinicke, where we bring health and wellness professionals together to talk about all aspects of women's health, from pregnancy to menopause and everything in between. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Revitalize Woman podcast. Today I'm really excited because I am sitting down with Lisa Kendall, who, if you've been in our Hales Corners office, you've probably seen her at the front desk or potentially working with clients, helping them get stronger. And so Lisa and I today are going to talk a lot about strength training, particularly in women and as women get into their 40s and 50s. So it will be a really great conversation today. Really quickly before we dive in though, I just want to let everyone know that July is our client appreciation month. So if you want to enter in for some of our great prizes that we have, I would love if you could give us a review and rate us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening to this. And then let us know, send us a quick email or text message, let us know you did it and what prize you want us to put your tickets into, and we can do that. And winners will be picked at the end of July. So don't forget to do that. You'll have the whole month to do it. And we also have quite a few new events coming up on our events page. So if you want to go there, I will link to it in our show notes. And you can always go to our website, revitalize-pt.com/events, if you want to find that. All right, so let's dive in. As I said, Lisa is a personal trainer. She is amazing, if you guys haven't had the opportunity to work with her. But I'm going to let her just kind of give a little bit of background and let us know kind of like, how did you get into fitness? So welcome, Lisa. I'm super excited to have you on today.
Thanks for having me, Brenda. I'm excited. So I got into fitness. I mean, when I was younger, I did play sports in high school. So basketball and track, then didn't do too much in my 20s, early 20s, and really got into it in my late 20s. At that point, I did a lot of endurance training. So marathon running, half marathon running, and then found strength training a couple years into that and really fell in love with strength training and what that did for my self-esteem, my body, my confidence, and just kind of got hooked from there. I've also done a little bit of bodybuilding, so kind of done it all, some endurance, some bodybuilding, learned a lot along the way. Throughout that journey, I became a personal trainer about 7 years ago, so I kind of toyed around with the idea for a long time actually, and then finally decided a little bit after I did bodybuilding and just wanted to share what I've learned and the messages that I could get out to women, that they can go into the weight room, they can lift heavy, they can feel good in their body and strong, and just really get that message out there and help women feel confident in the weight room and not just focus on cardio or classes and things like that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Do you feel like kind of making that switch over from more cardio endurance-based activities into strength training? Was there ever a point that you just felt really not confident, like a little nervous being in the weight room? Or did you always just kind of fit right in, like it wasn't a big deal for you?
It's been a long time, so I've been strength training consistently for 16 years, so to go back. luckily, my boyfriend is a personal trainer, so he taught me how to strength train and made me feel confident in the weight room. But of course, if I'm in a different setting, I felt a little uncomfortable. But once you really learn how to do it properly from a professional, you have confidence to go in. So it does take time, of course, but if you learn proper form and technique, it does help build that confidence. But of course, little scary in the beginning, yeah.
Sure.
And yeah, even just the mindset shift of when you're doing endurance, you have that feeling of sweating and competition. So that mindset shift was probably the hardest.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. It's something I didn't consider because it is a very different mentality mm-hmm. with mm-hmm. what you're getting out of the workout.
Yeah, definitely.
So I didn't mention this, but so Lisa will work with clients of ours at Revitalize, but also personal trains at the WAC. And so do you feel like a lot of women coming to you, and you do work primarily with women, mm-hmm. but do you feel like a lot of them, it's really helpful to have that guidance to just get them comfortable? Like, do you have a lot of people coming in that have never weightlifted and don't really know where to start?
Oh, yeah, definitely. a lot of them, that's kind of their starting point, and they just need that accountability, too. So some of them say that I need to have this appointment with you to make sure that I do it. So it is definitely important, and they are very conscious of their form, and they want to make sure that they're doing it correctly. Most of my women are 40s and up that I train, so having good posture and proper form and not hurting themselves is very important to them.
Yeah. So kind of going into that a little bit, why is it important for women to be strength training? You and I have had a lot of conversations about this in the office. But I want you to kind of tell everyone, like, what are your thoughts on that? Why is it so important? Because there's a lot of women that are not strength training, or they're afraid to strength train.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. That's a hot button for me. I honestly think every woman should strength train.
Regardless of age.
Regardless of age, regardless of other activities you do, it's just going to help. If you're in sport, it's going to help your sport. I think strength training is the key to longevity. So the stronger your body is, the more you're going to be able to combat certain, especially as we get older, diseases, diabetes, cancer, heart disease. And then as we get into perimenopause and menopause, even like anxiety, depression, that can be younger as well. It's just going to help with that as well. So yeah, I think all women should strength train, and it doesn't have to be 5 days a week. It can be 2 days a week, and that's super important. As you know, as we get older, once you reach 40, you start to lose that, lose muscle and bone density. So strength training is only going to help that. So the sooner you do it, the more you're setting yourself up for success long term.
Yeah, I think that's something that you and I have talked a lot about, that, you know, as your hormones start to shift, and a lot of women don't realize that kind of the perimenopause phase, which truly is a phase, can be about, it's like 8 to 10 years mm-hmm. on average leading up to menopause. And so for a lot of women, they're not really even aware that they might be in that phase, mm-hmm. but the more that they can do on the front end to build muscle and build bone strength, just sets them up so much better for menopause, because it's difficult then. It's more difficult to make progress mm-hmm. just based on a hormone interaction.
Yeah, definitely. And even like if you haven't set that up, or if you're, it doesn't mean it's too late either. So if you haven't started and you're 45 years old, start. Like, definitely start. Or even 60, 70. There's never, it's never too late to start. You're just going to help either build or maintain that. And if you fall or do anything, it's just less likely that you're going to break a hip, things like that, which is detrimental once we get older.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, you kind of touched on this too, like, but I think a lot of people don't understand all of the benefits of strength training and how it can impact mood, and cardiovascular health is huge. Mm-hmm. When, you know, for women in, let's say their 40s and 50s that want to improve these things, I feel like a lot of them will turn to just cardio. Mm-hmm. And especially if you want some cardiovascular health, can you talk a little bit about how you can actually get some cardiovascular benefit from strength training versus like just doing cardio, like a steady state cardio?
Yeah, definitely. And just from some of the stuff I've researched too, it's actually almost more important to do strict strength training as you approach 40s and beyond, and not do like maybe some boot camp style classes or just cardio. If you love it, definitely do it, but you need to have that pure strength training, meaning like 2 to 6 rep range, and then you're really taxing that central nervous system. And if you're lifting heavy, and of course you want to start where your baseline is, so it's not like you're going in and doing 200 pound deadlift. We're going to start where you're at, but you're going to feel, I mean, that's going to be hard. Like if you're doing a, let's say, 100 pound deadlift and you've never done it, that's definitely going to get that heart rate up as well. But the more muscle you put on, it's just going to, again, like you mentioned, help with what you've lost then, that hormonal profile.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit more about like why do you get so much more impact, I guess, from like strength training versus like walking from like a cardio standpoint?
Well, the more muscle you have on your body, the better your metabolism works. So a lot of times we think, like, we look at our watches and we're doing cardio and I'm like, I'm burning this many calories. Well, that's great. But the more cardio you do, the more you have to do. So your body just adapts to it quicker. Where with strength training, we can change that, like that adaptation differently. Once you get used to it, there's just so many variables that you can interact with strength training. So the more muscle you have on your body, the better your metabolism is going to work. So the more you're going to burn in at rest, basically. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then the more you'll be able to eat as well and then burn. So,
yeah. So what would like an ideal strength training program look like for a woman, maybe kind of just starting out? And I know everyone's different, but mm-hmm. like what would kind of be like your ideal that you're laying out in terms of how many times a week, like how long is it going to last, etc.?
I would say someone starting out, general population, hasn't strength trained before, 2 days a week I would start them at, if that's feasible with their schedule. I mean, if that's not and they can only do one, I still would say it's still beneficial to do 1 day. I would still have them walk daily. I think walking is like brushing your teeth. It just should be done. And then
it's just movement.
Yep, exactly. And then as far as cardio, yes, you still want to have that cardiovascular base. I would actually recommend high intensity, but only for 10 to 15 minutes. And when I say high intensity, you're going as hard as you can for 10 to maybe 30 seconds. And then you're resting and recovering and doing that again, but not for 40 minutes. It's going to be that short duration.
So that could be like a sprint or like jumping jacks, jumping rope, like anything that's like really going to...
Right, or even like, especially as we get older, sometimes people don't like to jump, even though jumping's still going to be good for the tendons and ligaments. So if you can work up to that, but like sprinting on the bike, rowing is going to be great, things like that. But yeah, uphill sprinting, because it's a little less impact on your joints.
That's your favorite.
Yeah.
Lisa's favorite exercise.
Yeah. So I would keep him in that, like that 2 day a week for probably 4 weeks within the same program, because you want to see your progress. You don't want to be switching around constantly and not seeing where you're at and where your progress has taken you, and then kind of reevaluate where you're at. And all those things can be changed versus like if I'm on the stairmill every day for 30 minutes, well, now I got to go for 40 minutes and 60, and it keeps going up, which is, it's just hard to do. People have lives, so.
Yeah, yeah. Do you feel like that's like almost like a common misconception a little bit that, you know, you need to be doing this for a really long amount of time every single day?
Yeah, it's definitely, that's one of the myths, I would say, misconceptions that people come in with, that I have to work out every day. And if you're doing that, you're not getting proper recovery. So then your next workout isn't going to be as good. So it's definitely a misconception that people have. They think more is better. When you're starting out, actually less is more, because then you just have more room to grow. mm-hmm. versus doing it all at once, and then where do you go from there?
Sure. Yeah, that's a great point. And you kind of said, too, like, stick with it. Like, you have a program, and you're sticking with it for 4 weeks. I think, like, I guess, like, I feel like I see people often changing it, you know, like, people like variety, mm-hmm. which I totally understand, and, like, yes, the same thing does get boring, mm-hmm. but from, like, a strength training standpoint, you kind of need to stick with that program for, you know, at least a few weeks to really see progress. How do you get clients to kind of, like, stick with it, stay present with that program when you see so many people, like, every single day I did a different, mm-hmm. you know, a strength workout to mix it up? Like, what do you tell people?
Definitely educating them on what the benefits are and where they're going to, how they're going to see where their strength changes. And you can, it's the movement can stay the same, and we can change it up, like, let's say you start with a body weight squat, and now we're going to add a goblet. So put a kettlebell and hold that, and then you progress from there, too. And then people still find that. They enjoy that. That, to them, gives them enough variety and challenge. So once they see the challenge in that, I think they catch on to it. Of course, everybody's different. So some clients I mix up a little bit more with little things. So it might be med ball slam, medicine ball slams, things like that, just to get a little more variety, but keep the movements similar. Like, you want to have the squatting, the hinging, the pushing, the pulling.
Mm-hmm. And I think, too, it also kind of depends a bit on, like, how much time are they devoting, like, in a week to it? Like, can you divide up the workouts a bit more versus, like, you know, 2 days a week whole body versus 4 days a week where maybe you're splitting upper body and lower body?
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, just for my population, I think the full body is the most beneficial, and they like it just because you're also not as sore either, but you're still getting the same amount of volume because you're doing it 2 to 3 days a week versus 1 day's lower body, 1 day's upper body. The volume is there when you're doing the full body, and you should and want to leave your workout feeling good and like you can attack the rest of your day, not like, oh, I can't move and I can't walk and I'm sore for a week.
Yes. So it's a great segue because this is something that we've talked about often. Just the fact that a lot of people do certain workouts, and again, it's not a one size fits all, but there are definitely certain workouts or gyms or trainers that really, it's this high repetition, high volume, and they just try to, like, kill your muscles mm-hmm. in a workout. And, you know, we've talked about it where you and I have both seen people where they're, like, doing, oh, yes, 100 squats or 200 squats today. And then, you know, they're so sore you can't walk for days. Like, someone that's in their 40s and 50s mm-hmm. actually can do more damage.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it definitely does more damage. And actually, that's one thing. You have more inflammation in your body in your 40s, 50s, and 60s. So you're going to feel that even more. So if you're doing, even if it's 100 reps of body weight squats, yeah, it's your body weight, but that's tough on the joints. Versus if you did 5 sets of 5, like a barbell squat, it still impacts the joint, but it's not as much volume, and it's going to just be a lot more beneficial for your body. So it's definitely takes a toll. I mean, I think I definitely can say if I knew these things in my 20s, I definitely would have approached it differently, because I think a lot of us have gone down that path and have done too much, and then you pay for it later on. You definitely feel it in your 40s and 50s.
Well, and it's almost like there's almost this mentality that, like, if you aren't so sore where your body just hurts, like everything hurts, that it wasn't a good workout.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I think there are times that, like, some muscle soreness, like, you're going to have that, or it's a new program, or it's a new exercise, or whatever it is, but I think, like, people don't realize that when you're so sore like that, like, your muscle, you're breaking down your muscle, you're creating tears, that's what strength training is, and your body has to repair that, but there gets to be a point where, like, you've almost created too much damage on the muscle that the body can't repair all of it. And I think especially as women get older, like, it is harder to repair that. And so my opinion, and I would like to hear your thoughts on this, you know, I don't think it's great, regardless of age, you know, to be doing these types of workouts so intense so frequently, but then, you know, looking at someone in their 20s that can repair a bit more easily than someone, you know, 45, 50, where now they're probably actually almost creating more injury to their muscle. And I don't think people know that or realize that.
Agree. I mean, I think that type of exercise routine is more risk. It's just more risk, especially in a class setting. And again, I'm not saying that you shouldn't do them, but I think you should be, like, have a background of proper form and be able to listen to your body and be in tune with your body and say, I can take this class, but maybe I need to back off on the rep range or weight. But yeah, it's, again, in perimenopause and menopause also, like, it almost does more of a disservice to do that, and it stresses your body even more, like you said, and then you're not recovering, and then that just raises the cortisol, and at that stage of life, too, a lot of times you're at the peak of your career, possibly, so you're stressed with that, you're running around with your kids, so you're not sleeping, so there's just so much stress in your life that you need to kind of reevaluate and look at what your workouts look like. I know everybody loves that adrenaline feel of sweating and having that pump, but it's definitely needs to be looked at differently.
Kind of, like, tied in with that, like, what would you say are some other, like, misconceptions around strength training that, like, we haven't talked about? Because I know there's a lot. There's a lot.
Yeah. One of the biggest ones is that if I strength train, I'm going to get bulky. That's the biggest one. I've been lifting weights for 16 years and I don't think I look like a man. So I think we're good. And women just don't have enough testosterone in their bodies to be bulky. Of course, nutrition is a big factor. So if you're eating well, you're not going to get bulky. I know this is a little taboo to say probably, but tone is essentially building muscle. So if women come and they want to be toned, that's what that is muscle you're building muscle is what that is. So you have to challenge your muscles to look like that.
Yeah.
So that's one of the big ones for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I think I would agree. That's probably a huge one for women, especially, I think, you know, sometimes I think of my mom who turned 61 last week. And I think that's definitely something she would say is, like, well, I don't want to. You know, bulk up or anything like that, because I think it's was just a widespread myth a long time ago, and even still you get that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, younger girls aren't as afraid of it, the younger generation, as mine and older probably is. But we grew up with, like, Jane Fonda and aerobics and jazzercise and pink dumbbells and not strength training that was for men. So we always associate it with that. And it, once you do it and it really has an empowering feel for yourself. Once you do it and kind of learn how to do it properly, it's very empowering.
Yeah. Well, and something that I feel like I have heard you talk about often is just how strength training is such a fundamental component to life. Like, you know, we need to strength train so that we can, you know, get up off of the floor, mm-hmm. get out of a chair, be able to, like, carry our groceries.
Something in a cabinet.
Yeah. Do you feel like that's something that you oftentimes have to kind of show people mm-hmm. or educate, like, this exercise translates over into, like, this movement?
Yeah. Once they see that, they're like, oh, I didn't even... So a lot of people don't think about that. They just don't put it together. If you have never done it, you're not going to, of course. But picking up a laundry basket, picking up a box off the floor. I have a client that's like, if I didn't do this, I wouldn't be able to put my grandchildren in and out of their car seat and take them out of the car because they're heavy.
Yeah.
It's just kind of funny. So like, I tell my grandchildren, you're lucky I lift weights. They're like, I don't care.
Yeah.
So it's definitely, yeah, it's again, the more strength you have, you're going to be able to live independently for as long as possible. Mm-hmm. So that's why I always say it's key to longevity. It's important. It's really important. It's not just about aesthetics.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think so many people, that's what we get concerned with and we get wrapped up in our heads about, but it's like, it almost doesn't hit you or it doesn't seem as important until, like, now you can't do it. Mm-hmm. You know, and from a physical therapy standpoint, you see that all the time. Like, you know, before I owned Revitalize, like, I worked with more elderly clients where they were in the hospital for a couple of days and now all of a sudden, like, can't stand up on their own out of a chair. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you don't realize that until all of a sudden, like,
you're there.
Yeah. And you can't do it.
Yeah. I always often think that, like, we just go along in our life in our 20s and 30s and everything feels great and it's easy. And if you haven't found fitness, you're like, oh, it's fine. It's fine. And then all of a sudden you wake up and here you are and things are harder and they don't feel as good either. So mm-hmm. it catches up to you eventually. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I've even noticed that, like, postpartum, and I feel like that's, like, a goal I've made for myself to not necessarily just try to lose baby weight to, like, be back at my regular size and have clothes that fit and feel good, but also, like, a strength component. Like, mm-hmm. I still have noticed, like, my legs are still weaker, you know, getting up off the floor without using my hands or, like... Mm-hmm. having to put kids in and out of car seats. Mm-hmm. And I think that just a lot of women don't put that, like, functional piece to it. It's always just kind of geared around, like, the aesthetics.
Yeah, definitely. And I know we're talking a lot about 40s, 50s, and 60s, but even women your age and younger and having children and just dealing with life in general, it does really help be able to cope with things. I mean, when you're strength training and doing things like challenging your body, you fail during it and it helps build that character. And it helps you in life in general, just be able to deal with things and kind of have this calming effect on yourself, I feel.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and it's something that, like, I've talked about when I've done workshops, but just the... you know, benefit from exercise on our cognitive function. Mm-hmm. Like, you're bringing blood flow and better, like, oxygenated blood into the brain. So, you know, it helps your cognition. It helps your mood. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of times people that have mood disorders, like, getting exercise in can significantly help. In addition to other things, but, like, mm-hmm. it's so important, and I kind of have to laugh. I don't know if I've told you this, but I started reading, the burnout book on mm-hmm. stress, and I was really interested to hear what they had to say, because they were, start off by saying, like, we don't tend to complete a stress cycle. It's like we have stress, but we don't like go all the way through it, and we kind of get stuck in this like midpoint. And I was like, oh, this sounds really interesting. And then like the next chapter is like, yeah, and exercise is how you complete that. And I'm like, oh, I should have known. Like, everything. The answer to everything is like a healthy diet and exercise.
And sleep. Yes. Yeah, I feel like that is the answer to everything. Yeah. I have this wrong with me. Exercise.
Yes. I know. But yet, you know, and here I am like reading this book like, oh, like,
yeah,
this is going to be like really insightful. Like, give me something. And no, I mean, I should have known.
Right.
I should have known that answer before I even read the book.
Honestly, I think we always look for quick fixes, and we look for a secret. And it's really simple stuff. It's like sleep, exercise, nutrition, and get outside.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, if we all kind of live by those rules, it'd be a lot easier.
Yeah, definitely. What do you feel like are things that you tend to say often to clients? Are there a few things that you find yourself always telling them?
A lot of mine I've worked with for a long time, so I don't say it as much, but consistency is the biggest thing. Consistency is key. Not comparing yourself to other people or other people's bodies or how you looked 20 years ago, because that's not your body anymore. Whether you had a baby, your body, this is your body now. This is your body post-baby. Or I'm going through menopause or perimenopause. Like, now my body's changing a little bit. So not comparing ourselves so much. Being the best version of yourself, and doing the things you do because you want to treat yourself like you love yourself. So you want to treat it well. That's why you do it. Because this is the only body we have, so we need to treat it well.
Yes. Yes.
So those are probably the two. The other one would be, we kind of touched on, was the not having to do. It's either consistency or doing too much. So there's the extremes.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to do everything all the time.
Mm-hmm. Or like the all or nothing mentality.
Mm-hmm. Those are probably the three biggest. And eating. Eat more. Protein. And that could be another topic.
Yeah. Yeah. Poor Lisa. She, everyone like hides their lunch now because they were like, oh, I don't have enough protein on this today. Lisa's going to yell at me, but just as a joke. She doesn't really do that.
I really don't yell.
She just thinks it.
Yep.
Protein. What would you say is the hardest exercise for women to learn, like from a form standpoint?
Yeah, the hardest exercise, hands down, is hip hinging. So a deadlift, Romanian deadlift, probably the hardest exercise across the board, men and women.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just, I don't think we connect, especially if you don't have an athletic background, connecting to your hips, which is where glutes and hips power comes from. But if you've never done it, it's just a hard connection. And it looks simple, but there's a lot of parts and pieces to it.
Yeah. I don't do a ton of golf swing analysis these days, but I used to do more. And there's like a drill that you can do that basically like you have to move the hips without moving your upper body and vice versa. And it is amazing how so many people, they can't do that. Like, we can't dissociate the two halves of our body.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Even like these athletes that are out there golfing all the time, and you're like,
mm-hmm,
you can't do it. So yeah. I would totally believe the hip hinges.
And that's probably one of the most important, just because when you're picking something up off the ground, you're hinging. Or you should be.
Ideally.
You should be.
Should be.
That's hinging. The goal.
Yes.
Again, taking it back to life.
Not, you know, back rounded right over. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you find it difficult to be at the gym and like seeing people exercising on their own with like the form is just not good? Is that hard for you to watch sometimes?
Yeah, it can be challenging for sure. But I have to stay in my lane. I mean, it is my lane, but
I know. I think that sometimes when I watch people run down the street and I'm like, oh, gosh, their knees must hurt. Like,
they
must.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so two more questions. What are your, or what is your favorite exercise? I think I already know the answer to this. It's going to be the hip hinge, isn't it?
I'll say two. I actually do like squatting. It's hard. I like a lot of exercises. So for me, I'm sorry. But deadlift is just because you get full. I mean, it's, I mean, squat is too, but you're really engaging that whole body. So deadlift probably. Trap bar deadlift, because I think as I get older, I like it. It's just a little bit better for my body and joints as I get older. But I do like a good shoulder press, so.
Didn't think of that one, that you were going to say that one.
Everybody should do push-ups, though.
Yeah.
Because they can go with you everywhere. Yeah, and they're full body.
They are. Yes. Push-ups are tough.
Yes. And
burpees are.
Nah. I don't think everybody needs to do those. Tougher. So. Yeah, if you're not, if you don't have good form, then I say don't do burpees. It's going to wreck you.
Those push-ups are hard enough.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, last question I ask everyone on the podcast. What is your favorite way of practicing self-care?
Oh, boy. That's a hard one for me, Brenda. I do like to go for hikes, so get out in nature. I do need some time alone. Alone time is important to me, so I'm with people from 5:30 in the morning till 7:30 at night, so having my alone time is good. And then I just follow, like, getting good sleep, proper good nutrition, but getting out in nature. Consistency. Getting out in nature is probably one of my favorites, so.
I love it. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you.
I'm glad we were able to record this. I know we've had these conversations over the years, but I think it's your knowledge and your insight is so important, and I think just so great to be able to get it out there for other women to hear, because I think it's can be very inspiring for a lot too, because you really do like live what you preach, and I think that that's important.
Yeah. Thank you.
So thank you.
Thank you.
And yeah, we'll have to maybe do a follow-up sometime on a protein intake.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Revitalize Woman Podcast. Stay tuned for your pelvic floor tip of the day. But don't forget to rate us and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. And if you do it in the month of July, we are doing our Client Appreciation Month. So you get tickets, raffle tickets to enter in for some really awesome giveaway prizes. So I would be so appreciative if you could do that. Feel free to tag us on social, let us know you did it, or shoot us an email or text, and we'll get your tickets entered in. So your pelvic floor tip of the day is make sure you are working on your hip hinge. So you heard Lisa and I talk about how important that is, but not only is it important for function, it's also really important for your pelvic floor. So start to practice that and incorporate it into your movements. Thanks again for tuning in, and I'll see you on another episode.